for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Do any of you have a particular word that you use a lot? We sometimes notice in other people, you know, if they keep using a word too often, and we notice it in others, but we sometimes don't notice it in ourselves. When we were at Bible College, one of the lecturers, Keith Warrington, who's known to most of us here because he's spoken here a few times, no matter what he was lecturing on, every single lecture, and even in a normal conversation, he got two words in. The word scenario and motif. And so if I hear anybody saying the word scenario or motif, you don't hear motif an awful lot, but you do hear scenario, I always think about him. And if I see him, I always think about those two words. And I did notice when John McAvoy from Dublin preached here the other week, he used a couple of words really frequently. I don't know if you notice when people use words, but he kept saying about the word of God landing on you, or landing. In other words, don't let it just wash over you, go over your head, let it land on you. He kept saying that. But, well, he spent the afternoon with us. He literally must have said over 100 times the word space. I have never known somebody to use the word space so often. He said, we just need to invite God in into the space and see him move. Did anybody else notice he said those words? I hope he doesn't listen to this and think I'm criticizing. I'm not. I'm just making an observation. Maybe you've noticed that I say words too often. Maybe you just think I use too many words. But if I use a word too often, tell me about it. Because I used to use one particular word much too often, and that was the word really. I would say really in front of everything. I really loved that. Or I really hated that. I'm really warm. Or I'm really cold. That's really good. Or that's really bad. And I noticed I was saying this word really, really too much. And so I had to stop because I was really, really, really conscious of this word really was really getting on my nerves how often I used it. So I had to try and stop saying it. Do you have a word that you use too much? Jackie. Has William got a word that he uses too much? Because she's already whispering to him. Ask somebody who knows you really well if you've got a word, because you probably don't even know you're saying it. It's just out of habit. But as I've been reading the Christmas story again, and particularly in Luke's gospel, I noticed a word that cropped up quite a lot. In the nativity section and the very early part of Luke's gospel, and then it doesn't appear again in the whole gospel. Now, when a word keeps cropping up in the Bible, it's not that the gospel writer or the writer has sort of ran out of words to say, and it's not out of habit that they're just repeating this word. If a word keeps cropping up, it's a very significant word, and it's there for a reason. In Luke's gospel, at the beginning, in the nativity story, the word that keeps cropping up is the word favor or favored. And every time, Luke uses it, but it's not him that's speaking it. But every time it is used in Luke, it is speaking about the favor of God. The first time we see this word is in Luke 1:25, and it's spoken by Elizabeth. And it's Elizabeth's response after she becomes pregnant with John the Baptist. Remember, spoke on it a couple of weeks ago. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple as he was burning incense. And this is what Elizabeth says in 1:25. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. He has shown his favor. When the angel Gabriel then went to visit Mary and to tell Mary she was going to conceive a baby by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this baby was going to be the Son of God. The angel, when he went to her, he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What a greeting. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." After the visit of the angel of Gabriel to Mary, I mean, that news, that was overwhelming news. Mary quickly gathered a few things together. She hurried out of Nazareth, where she was living, out into a town in the hill country to go to see Zechariah and Elizabeth. Mary was probably feeling like, I am going to be the mother of the Son of God. I have been favored by God. I am the one who was prophesied about by Isaiah that a virgin would conceive and give birth to the Son of God. I'm that person. Sometimes we just don't stop long enough to absolutely take in the human story of the Bible. It was overwhelming news. And the angel had told her that her relative Elizabeth, who was barren, was now 6 months pregnant. And so Mary's probably thinking, right, well, Elizabeth, something miraculous has happened to her. I'll go and I'll talk to her. She'll understand. She'll know what I'm talking about. Something amazing's going on here. And so I could just imagine her, whether she was walking or going a donkey, she's getting to that town. She sees their house. She goes up. She opens their door. And she greets Elizabeth. The Bible tells us that when she greeted Elizabeth, John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. Is that not incredible? And Elizabeth says, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Because the favor of God brings life. Into Mary and into Elizabeth, the favor of God on those two women brought life, new life from God. The favor of God brought joy. John the Baptist, a baby in the womb, leapt for joy because of the favor of the Lord. The favor of God is something to be experienced. It's something that you feel in your life, something that God does. Amazing. So up to this point, we see the favor of God. It's resting on two individual women. One of them, for her, she said it took away the disgrace of her barrenness, her childlessness. She has become pregnant well after childbearing years are over. She's giving birth to John the Baptist, the other, a virgin. And she's becoming pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is causing her to miraculously give birth to the Son of God. So you might think, well then, does that mean that the favor of God is only for a couple of people? And in the case of Elizabeth and Mary, is only for very righteous people, because they both were very righteous, God-honoring, God-fearing women. No, it doesn't mean that, because that wouldn't match what the rest of the scriptures say about God. He does choose people for very particular tasks, but the Bible says that God does not show favoritism. The favor of God is not favoritism. Acts 10:34, and then Peter, this is Peter at the house of Cornelius. Peter began to speak and says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, that the salvation isn't just for the Jews, not just for one little group of people. It was for the Gentiles. Romans 2:11, Paul says, for God does not show favoritism. Ephesians 6:9, he says, there is no favoritism with him. After the birth of Jesus, we notice a change. The angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds out in the fields, and he said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? All the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Good news of great joy for all the people. The incredible announcement is for everybody. I mean, it was incredible that an angel appeared to these shepherds. I'm sure they thought it was incredible. They were terrified. And it must have been an amazing sight, the brightness and everything. But then suddenly, after this announcement, there appeared a great company of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. So now, the favor of God is not just on a few people. It's not just for a few people. God's favor has been poured out into the world. God's favor now rests upon anybody who will accept Jesus Christ as the Savior. Jesus, again, he emphasized this message of the favor of God. In Luke 4, and it's the last time in Luke we see that word favor. In Luke 4, as Jesus was giving out his mission statement, his final phrase was, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Not a literal year, not just a year in time, but he's saying, from my coming until I come back from heaven, it's a time of the favor of God. A time when people can experience the kindness, the goodness, and the love of God. It was quite interesting looking up this definition of the word favor. Two common definitions. It was either a kind action that you do for somebody. That would be the way we would most commonly use it. We say, would you do me a favor? You know, would you mind the cat when I'm away on holidays or something like that? Would you do me a favor? But it can also be used to give somebody an unfair advantage. Maybe somebody comes for a job. They're not the best person for the job. They're not maybe the most qualified for the job, but you know the person. And so you do them a favor. It's a nod, it's a wink, it's a handshake under the table. They get the job. But you know, when it comes to God, there's no unfair advantage. There's no favor in that sense. There's no nod and a wink and a handshake under the table. God shows partiality to no one. God doesn't look on race, religion, status, money, all the stuff that the world looks on. God shows no partiality. But the first definition is true. It is a kind action done for somebody. That is the favor of God. Jesus came into the world to demonstrate, to show the kindness and the goodness and the love of God toward us. Sometimes we hear people saying, and I heard somebody saying quite recently, they pulled in a few favors. You know what that means? It means at one time or another, you did something good for somebody. You did a good turn for somebody. And now you're in a position and you need something done. You need a good turn done. So you pull in the favor. that you're able to repay for the good that you have done. But God's favor. God isn't repaying us. We don't pull in God's favor because we've done a good deed. God's favor is completely unmerited by us. There is nothing good that we have done that in any way could merit the favor of God. God's favor is Jesus. Jesus coming and taking your place and my place on the cross. This morning, Graham was speaking and he's saying about propitiation. Even within evangelicalism in Great Britain, that very doctrine is under threat. Steve Chalk was one of the probably the most well-known evangelical who questioned and then said he did not believe that. He did not believe that a righteous God would pour out his wrath on his son to take away our sin. Friends, if you don't believe that, you don't understand the nature of the justice of God or the seriousness of your sin. That is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus, because of the righteousness of God, he had to turn away the wrath of God from us by taking it on himself. Taking it in his own body, on his own righteous soul. That is the favor of God towards us. Jesus said, I am taking it so you don't have to. I'm taking it so you can experience the love, the kindness, and the goodness of God. Oh, we sang that wonderful hymn this morning. It is well with my soul. We sang about the peace of God. That's the favor of God. To know peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. Do you know that? In your heart, have you got the peace of God? Have you got peace with God? Do you know that you are eternally secure in the arms of God? Do you know that? Jesus died so that you could know that. But you need to respond to him. You need to respond to his favor. Paul tells us that the kindness or the favor of God leads us to repentance. He says in Romans 2:4, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? That's where a lot of people make a mistake. You go into Ballymoney Town tomorrow and you speak to people, and there'll be many people who would say, you know, God is kind, God is good, and that when I die, God will be kind and good to me because I've not been that bad. They honestly think there's going to be a nod and a wink and a handshake under the table and they'll get into heaven. Listen, there'll be no nod and wink and handshake under the table. God does not show partiality. God does not show favoritism. This is the day of his favor. But the favor of God, the kindness of God, leads to repentance. Without that, no one will see heaven. For I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Have you responded? That is the question. Have you responded? Have you said, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to experience your favor. I want to know your kindness. Friends, don't pass by another week. Don't let it go another week. Respond to him this night. I'm going to conclude tonight with a verse from the Old Testament. It's a wonderful, beautiful verse. It's part of Moses' final blessing just before he died to 12 tribes of Israel. It's a blessing given to Naphtali. Deuteronomy 33:23. I reckon this is as good as it gets. About Naphtali, he said, Naphtali is abounding with the favor of the Lord and is full of his blessing. Would you not love that to be said about you? Put your name in there. Rhonda is abounding with the favor of the Lord and is full of his blessing. Stick your own name in there. Could anything greater be said of any of us? Would you not love that to be your experience? To every single person who trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior, this can be our experience. It doesn't mean there's no problems. It doesn't mean there's no trials and testings. It doesn't mean that there's no difficulty. But we can be living, abounding with the favor of the Lord and full of his blessing. That was won for you on the cross. Jesus Christ came to bring God's favor to all who would receive. Don't just know it in your head. Live it in your life. Let's pray. Are you right with God? Have you received his favor? Do you know that you are secure in him? If you don't, this is the night. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't harden your heart. When you hear God speaking, never harden your heart. If you know that you have not, you're not living in the favor of God, if you know that you've never truly given yourself to the Lord or you've wandered far away, and tonight you say, I'm coming to Jesus. Could you just raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you? Just raise your hand quickly as I look around. Tonight you say, yes, I want to get right with God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your kindness, Lord. It is overwhelming that you should show such kindness to us who were your enemies. Lord, we didn't pull in a favor because we had nothing good. But I thank you, Lord, that when we came to you, you took us as we were. You've changed our hearts. And I thank you now, Lord, that it can be our experience to abound with the favor of the Lord and to be full of your blessing. And I pray, Lord, in this Christmas season, for us who know you and love you, help us not to get so caught up in the way that the world celebrates Christmas that we forget what it's all about. I pray, Lord, that we would have a focus in our own hearts of being abounding in your favor, and that the full blessing of the Lord would flow out from us to the people that we meet, that people would see something different in us and be attracted to our wonderful Savior. We ask it for his glory. Amen.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyealing.com.